Hey there, and welcome to the No Code SaaS podcast. I'm James, and I'm joined here by Kieran.
Hi, everyone.
Great to be back. So yeah, this is the podcast where we talk about building a SaaS business without being a programmer. So using no code tools, primarily Bubble, which is what me and Kieran use. But yeah, I thought we could dive into it with maybe a quick update of some news of what's coming up and what we've been working on. Yeah, Kieran, I don't know if you want to kick off.
Yeah, so in terms of, you know, my main project, yep.so, sorry, I don't really have any updates on that. I haven't done anything for the past, what was it, week or so since the last episode. I've been thinking a lot more about what we discussed then, which was like, I need to actually just launch some more products. And I keep seeing people doing super impressive stuff, especially this guy. It was like yesterday or the day before, he tweeted us, didn't he, with saying, like, I've output some stuff from your podcast episode, check it out. And so I clicked on the link, and it was just like, he had show notes, he had suggested tweets, he had a whole blog post, he had like clips and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I've, you know, this is a very similar product to ones I've already seen on the market and heard about. So I know loads of stuff is possible with AI. But then it turned out he built it with Bubble, which was like super exciting, because I was thinking, yeah, this is a decent product. I think some of the UI still needed some working out, but the actual functionality was really good. And I told him it's a genius way to market it. To like, first he complimented the podcast, and then I was like, thanks for listening. And then he was like, oh, here's loads of stuff for you. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then he was like, I'll give you a like free premium subscription for a month or something. And yeah, I was like, that is smart marketing right there. Made me like him and grateful, instead of just feeling like I'm being sold.
100%. It's genius marketing. Yeah, it was called, the product's called Right Panda from Kamal Cannon. And yeah, I thought that was such great kind of guerrilla marketing, because it almost doesn't feel like marketing was it's useful. But yeah, great product too, and really impressive use. I think it's using OpenAI Whisper to transcribe the audio of the podcast and then output all these other useful things. But what a great way to market a product, you know, to run it on a potential customer and send them the output. I think that's really, really, really slick. Great example.
Yeah, I love seeing stuff like that. And that, yeah, that made me think even more, I need to just start launching some more stuff that's a bit more, you know, of the moment. I think landing pages are kind of a bit boring now. And there's loads of potential for the kind of new up and coming markets to get traction really quickly if you do something that people are interested in. So yeah, just thinking more about that. But yeah, what have you been up to, and tell us about the events that are coming up?
Yeah, so I've been pretty busy actually. Yeah, quite a few things on that I've been working with. So I think we should kick off with the events. I think that's quite exciting, and I'm really excited about that, especially as it's something we're going to do together and take the podcast on the road effectively, which is going to be pretty exciting. So the first one that we've got coming up is the No Code Summit in Paris. So this is on the 10th and 11th of October. So me and Kieran will be there, which is going to be really exciting. And we're going to try and produce a ton of interesting content while we're there, kind of trying to keep everyone up to date with the latest on what's happening in the kind of wider no code ecosystem. There's some great speakers there from what I've seen. So we might see if we can do a couple of quick interviews with them while we're there, which would be awesome. But yeah, we're going to be heading over for majority of the week. We'll be there in Paris. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I used to live in Paris, so and I haven't been back since, like, been 10 years since I went back. So it's going to be great just to see some of the old places and see what it's like now. And the other cool thing is that we are going over with Max from 100 Days of No Code, who is a bit of a no code legend. So it'll be good to hear what he's up to and, you know, get to know him a bit better, because I've only met him a couple of times in real life.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's going to be a really, really good group, and what a great place to visit as well. And we've got another event which we've literally just confirmed at, which is a week and a bit afterwards, which is October 24th and 25th. So this is something that a lot of us who've been building with Bubble have been kind of really, really hoping for years is a real life meetup officially organized by Bubble. And this is the first one that's going to be happening in New York. So we're really, really excited about this. There seems like there's a huge number of people from the community who are going to be there together for the first time. So I missed out on the Bubble House in the summer, but this looks like it's going to be a great kind of official companion to that. And there's a load of exciting stuff happening there, in particular the kind of awards of the Bubble Immerse program is going to be happening there, the final of that. So that's going to be really exciting to see. So yeah, another one.
Yeah, that'll be great. And again, we're going to, yeah, Bubble House was fantastic, but it was mainly European bubblers. But this time we're going to get to meet some of our fellow bubblers from across the ponds, like Eli Beachy, I saw is going, and obviously JJ Engler and people like that who, yeah, are just legends in the bubble space. So it'll be great to meet them in real life and also hang out with the Bubble team and find out about any exciting new features in the pipeline.
100%. I've got a feeling there is going to be some interesting announcements about what's coming on the platform. So we'll be covering all that, of course, while we're there. That's the main reason we're going, is to try and, you know, share as much as we can about what's happening while we're there. So again, yeah, we're going to try and do as many kind of interviews and cover as much as we can while we're there and put it out as episodes. So that's going to be super exciting. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Definitely. New York without the kids. Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Dream come true.
Yeah.
Poor kids.
So I think another topic we were thinking of talking about this week, moving back to kind of more bubble related stuff and building software with Bubble, building SaaS specifically, was UI kits. And this is something I think we've both used increasingly since the release of the responsive engine in Bubble. And I've started one or two new projects lately where I've used a UI kit from the beginning. And it really has been a game changer for me in how quickly I've been able to put the application together. Because I think when you are doing lots of the UI from scratch, you can spend a lot of time doing stuff that's been done 100 times before. You know, most SaaS UI patterns pre-existing, and there are a couple of really fantastic UI packs out there. I think the two that's really spring to mind: Basis, which is new from Josh Munch. I think that's only been out for a month or so. I've been using it really religiously, and I've been so blown away with how great it is and how quickly I've been able to put together entire new applications with a really, really nice high quality UI. The other one is also Frames, which I think you've used as well, Kieran. But again, another really, really high quality UI framework. And I thought it might be just interesting to talk about a couple of the benefits of why it's a good idea to use these. Obviously, I think both of them come with Figma kits as well, which, you know, helps you plan your app in advance if you want to work like that, or you can jump straight into the builder. But yeah, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about your experience of using them and why you think they're helpful.
Yeah, well, I mean, I used to be very, very unstructured about how I designed apps. I used to do all the design myself just as I was going, and it was really, everything looked messy. Nothing ever looked right. And even when I got a better eye for design, I knew what looked good, and I put quite a lot of effort in, everything never really looked quite right. And after the recent Bubble House, where I got to when I got to hang out with Gregory John, who's obviously like a master of design at BuildCamp, he did a little session for us, and I also talked to him quite a lot about it. And he basically always uses UI kits. He uses this one called Untitled UI, which is, it's in Figma, and you can buy it as like $149 or something. And it just has tons and tons of dashboards and landing pages and all the kind of different components you need to make a UI. So he designs his apps first in Figma, and then he just recreates it in Bubble. So that was really interesting. And the other thing he talked about was like having a design system. So he sets up all his colors first. He sets up all his styles of his elements and his fonts, and he has like just little things that you wouldn't think of, like the on the larger fonts, he'll like reduce the letter spacing, which I never would have done before, but it does make it just look that much better to the kind of trained and untrained eye, really. So he has all these processes that he does, and so I started trying to do those, and yeah, it's working great, and I'm using Untitled UI, and I'm trying to transplant it into Bubble, but it still takes me some time to look at something in Figma and then make it in Bubble. And really, the speed you can build things with frames and other UI kits where you can literally just drop it onto the page is really, really just powerful. I mean, you know, the main advantage no coders have over people writing with code is speed. And if we can do anything to increase that speed, then that's a good thing. And every bubbler I know says that design is the thing that takes them the longest. Even if they're a designer, I think it still takes you the longest because it's just kind of fiddly compared to, you know, building a feature and doing the logic and the workflows. It's crazy what you can do in half an hour, like doing workflows, but half an hour spent on design might get me like one little tiny bit done. I can spend a whole day just doing one landing page. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of UI kits. I don't use them enough, and I need to start using them more just after hearing you talking about that, because I've just started building a new app, and I'm trying to do it using Figma, and it's taking too long.
Yeah, and that kind of comes down to personal preference a lot as well, I think, about whether you do start with Figma or you jump straight into the actual UI builder. I mean, I've done both. I think it really depends on the project sometimes about whether I would start in Figma or even in something even rougher than that, with sketching out the database and very, very rough screens kind of manually. But yeah, I think there's a huge benefit to using UI kits. I think for this most recent project that I've been working on, I've really started in the Bubble editor, and I've just been taking elements directly from this UI. From in this case, I've been using Basis, and yet very, very quickly got to a place where the entire application is pretty much is done 100% using that UI. The other thing I found really easy to build a single page application using this technique as well. Because you'll bring on the application frame, which basically is your header, your side navigation, all of that all set up for you with breakpoints and everything. And then in the right-hand section, I'm just dropping in my reusable elements, which are then configured to show depending on what's the URL. So yeah, I found it super, super quick, because when I built my own application, I did all that by hand, and I spent absolutely ages getting all of that right. So being able to just copy and paste the bits that I want from a UI kit, and how easy it is to work with in Bubble now with the responsive editor, with the ordering of those elements, is real game changer. I think before the responsive engine, UI kits were super fiddly, to be honest, because you drag an element on and then you'd be wrestling with its relationship with everything else on the page. But now, you know, you pretty much start off with all of your containers in column mode, and you're literally adding in blocks into that column. And I also really like personally that these UI kits don't come with any logic, because I want to add all the logic for what's happening myself. So it's literally is just the UI with buttons, empty repeating groups, things like that, and then you're setting up all the logic. So you still have 100%, you know, ownership over, you know, how everything works, because I've not always been a fan of a template where it's all set up for you and you kind of got to reverse engineer it sometimes. And I think that's really why UI kits are so much more powerful than a template, because ultimately a template's been put together by someone else, and you've got to try and understand how it's all put together, how it's working. With a UI kit, you're literally doing it yourself, but you're kind of like turbocharged in the editor, because you've got all these ready to go elements that you can just drop on that are really high quality, responsive, all the rest of it. So yeah, I app on Bubble 100% use a UI kit of some kind, because it will really save you a huge amount of time and give you a great quality output as well.
Yeah, this has made me think I need to add that to my course very early on, actually, because yeah, at the moment I did a module on design, but Yeah, I think I should just tell everyone to use UI kits, because to be honest, maybe 1 in 10 bubble apps that I see is actually like really nicely designed, and almost 100% of the time those are done with UI kits. And it's just, design is just so hard. It's like, even when you think you can do it, just little subtle spacing differences suddenly make it look kind of amateur. And using a UI kit just takes all that off your hands. And really, you know, who wants to be spending hours doing that when you can be building really cool features?
Absolutely. It's all about that consistency of the design. And like you say, the smallest thing, like font sizes, buttons, repeating groups and tables and all this stuff, having them look consistent through the app it gives a feeling of quality. I know it sounds like something simple, but when you've got multiple UI elements throughout a complicated app, keeping them all in sync is not actually as easy as you think. You know, you might use reusable elements as much as possible, but at the end of the day, if you're making it by hand, you're kind of relying on your memory of what your style looks like or whatever. So I think, yeah, using a UI kit and combining it with things like reusable elements. So I still will put elements that I get from the UI kit in reusables, because then it's, you know, for all the benefits we've spoken about before. But it's, yeah, it just lets you move so much quicker, because design is a skill unto itself. And that's a lot of people's full-time job, is just designing. So if you can take the great work of a designer and remix it for your own app, then 100% do it, as you're just not reinventing the wheel. Pretty much every SaaS app, every bit of UI in it has been done before. It's a standard UX pattern. So yeah, reuse it. Don't try and reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time we do these podcasts, I come away with like stuff I must do that I haven't been doing. And this is definitely my one for today, is use the UI kit. I might just like delete everything I've done from this new project and just start again with a UI kit, because I just know how quick it's going to be.
Yeah, 100%. And it maybe it's something we can even do a little walkthrough of in future, of, you know, building some dummy pages or a SaaS app live on the podcast, because literally in the space of 10, 15 minutes, you can get something pretty workable together. So yeah, it really has been a bit eye-opening for me, starting a brand new project using this, because I've, you know, I think probably like you, I've got an app that I've been working on for literally years, and it's kind of evolved and I've been doing bits and pieces by hand. But actually starting this fresh project, it's, yeah, UI kit is 100% the way forward for most people. And I'm actually even considering redoing my app, the entire thing, with the UI kit. So yeah, very, I'm already pulling bits in, but yeah, there is the major benefits to doing it. So
is it a Chrome extension like Frames?
Yeah. So I think all those bubble UI kits pretty much work the same, when you get a Chrome extension that you can click on when you're in the bubble editor, and it effectively gives you like a library of categorized elements. So you've got your, you know, your sign up forms, your repeating groups, cards, pretty much everything you can imagine. And you literally copy them and then paste them into your bubble app where you want them. And in general, it works absolutely perfect. You know, it will match your project fonts and style, you know, colors that you've got set up in your master app. So even just taking stuff straight from the pack, it will look pretty good just by when you paste it in. So yeah, very, very impressive.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Definitely going to check that out. Any more updates for us from UserLoop?
So there's been, I've been working on quite a few kind of smaller customer-led updates to it. So nothing huge. There is this bigger update that I've been working on for some time, which is coming by the end of this month. So this is the diversifying the product away from just being surveys to doing other things that it's never done before. So I am excited about that, because I've even kind of serendipitously had people emailing me asking me, can you do this thing? And I was like, no, but that's funny you should ask that, because it's coming. So that's been really good. Because yeah, I think I've just been, I've been just looking at the ecosystem of other apps in my space, and I do feel like surveys is becoming a little bit commoditized. So I wanted to broaden out and kind of expand the product range effectively, because I do think there's an opportunity there to do it. So that's kind of the big thing that's on my radar at the moment is branching out. And yeah, how to handle that. Whether that should be in the master app, the main app, or it should be a new separate app. That's been something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I think I've come around to the thinking that it's going to be in the main app as another option, purely because I didn't really want to go and do all the authentication again, all the payment flows, all of that. But now with a UI kit, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. So it's constantly in flux, that one, about which way to go. But yeah, I need to decide in the next few days, because I want that released by the end of the month.
Is
But
it a complementary feature to the surveys? Do you think the same customers are going to want to use it?
yeah, 100%. So it's still targeted at that same demographic. So it's the Shopify store owners. It's definitely something that they want. And I've looked at other products in the space, and a lot of them feel like they haven't been updated in a long time. So I think the reason I'm going in that direction is I've kind of learned a lot from doing the surveys with, for example, like the AI and the incentives by generating coupons when people complete the survey. And I think I can take a lot of that and apply it to this other vertical and do something quite interesting with it. So, I mean, ultimately, I think my ambition longer term is to have a real suite of applications, all of which are complementary, for store owners. The other thing I haven't officially, I know we spoke that I was working on it, but it is released now, is an entire version of the product that isn't reliant on having a Shopify account. So you can now sign up, use the app, pay with Stripe, and use everything without being on Shopify. So that's not been heavily promoted yet, I think, because I kind of feel it needs to go in hand with this other new feature, and because it makes it more compelling, because the Shopify integration itself brings a lot of value. So yeah, I think adding more into the platform is going to be key for that relaunch, effectively, of opening it up to the wider market. But yeah.
Yeah, I think, Shopify merchants are probably used to using apps that do a lot of different stuff. They're probably used to quite bloated apps. So I think adding new features to your existing one won't be overload for them. And then you can always, if it goes well, you can always spin it out into a separate app as well. So just to market it in a different way. So you can have the people that want everything and then the people that just want one specific feature.
100%, yeah.
Sold them maybe at different price points as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's definitely on my mind. And I also want every new feature or product that's launched in the future to not be reliant on any one platform. So the surveys are pretty much completely reliant on Shopify for the last 2 years. And that is great. It does bring a lot of value, but also, we've talked a lot about platform risk in the past, and I just want to be mindful that, I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket, because things change, the market changes, and I'd like to try and spread my risk as much as I can. So having, product lines that aren't reliant on one specific platform or any APIs in particular, that I've, I think that is a good thing to do at this point, because, this app is now 2 years old plus. So, it feels like the right time to do that. It's a little bit further down the line, so we can start thinking about some of these other problems a little bit more.
Well, from my perspective, you seem to be doing all the right things and making some really smart decisions and running it like a proper business. So, yeah, I think you're on the right track for sure.
Hopefully. I mean, I feel like every other startup, where every day is either great or a disaster. It's just like the constant kind of ebb and flow of it. But I think with this project from the beginning, what I really wanted to focus on more than MRR or anything else was that I was really enjoying the process and the journey of it. Because ultimately, I think with a lot of SaaS, it's the longevity of how long you are you know, iterating the product, how long you're working on it and growing. So I want to make sure I'm maximizing my kind of happiness working on it so that I'm happy to work on it indefinitely. So yeah, I've definitely been thinking about that a lot. And, you know, I think doing things like this podcast and the events that we do where we talk to other founders who are doing similar things really helps with that as well. Because I think, you know, it's just so exciting to see what people are doing with no code now. And I do feel like it's more and more people are realizing you can build really powerful software with it. So it's an exciting time to be in the space for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still so excited by it. And I feel like there's still so few people building SaaS with no code compared to how many there should be and how many there hopefully will be in the not too distant future. But I think you're totally right that preparing for or optimizing for longevity and it's just a smart thing to do. You need to be enjoying it because it could take several years to actually get traction or to find the right product market fit. So you just need to make sure you're not too stressed or you know, struggling with things.
100%.
Yeah, good. So yeah, that's pretty much everything I had to say. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I mean, I think we'll announce more about our plans for those two events. We may try and do some live stuff while we're there, multiple interviews, all sorts of stuff. So yeah, we're planning all that at the moment. So we'll release what we're thinking. But also, if anyone has suggestions, topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes or interviews you'd like to hear, then we really love hearing from you on Twitter. It really is great to know that people are listening and hopefully finding it useful. So yeah, I think that's it, really.
Surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's it for this week, and yeah, we'll be back soon.
Cool. Bye.
Thanks, Ed. Bye.